Court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Robert Mack. I represent the taxpayer, the appellant, Blakely, in this matter. This morning, I'd like to cover three main points, which the first is the most important. First, why this case is not moot, and why the government has, in effect, not conceded it, although we do think that there is ample grounds on which this court could find that it did. Second, why the taxpayer really has no alternative remedy in this particular matter, and why the refund suit, the tax refund suit remedy, is exactly where precedents of this court and other courts have said he should go, and why we came to the Court of Claims, the Court of Federal Claims in this matter. And third, why this is an appeal, not a decision in the taxpayer's favor. Of these, as I mentioned, the first is the most important point, and that's
you,
that.
You rely on appeal on this Church of Scientology case from the Ninth Circuit.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you argue that this is an issue that's capable of repetition yet evading review. Did you make that argument to the Court of Federal Claims?
We did not make that argument there, Your Honor. We made it here in this case, in our briefs, and we want to emphasize it today because if this case is moot, because the government can basically pay money without suffering the consequences of actually
having. Is there any evidence, did you put anything in the record to indicate that this issue was capable of repetition, that the government was going after you with respect to any other of these weapons?
Your Honor, there was only one item at issue in the court below, so that was not ripe at that point.
So you didn't put in any evidence that it was capable of repetition?
We didn't put any evidence in the record, Your Honor, that shows it was. However, if the taxpayer were to manufacture another weapon, and actually there is some mention of it without using those particular terms, if the taxpayer were to make another firearm like this and apply for a transfer as he did in this case, it would be very clear that at this point, as we mentioned in our briefs, that that ATF would quickly call it exempt and throw him out, or at least grant the transfer just because he was an exempt transaction.
I suppose you could make the argument, perhaps, that since Mr. Blakely is a manufacturer of firearms, this was a firearm he manufactured and was trying to get approved, that it was sort of self-evident that it would apply to any future manufacturer of the same firearm?
Of course, Your Honor, and a manufacturer of the same firearm, or even one that he himself made as well. At this point, it seems fairly commonsensical, at least to me, that if he were to do this again, the government's on notice now that it's an exempt to an exempt, so they would quickly say that this is not taxable, and every single time, they would be able to avoid the issue.
That's what case suggests that kind of speculative assumption is sufficient or capable of repetition yet evading review?
Scientology does that, Your Honor, because in
Scientology, there was a specific controversy with respect to other items.
Understood, but in that particular case, the court took great pains to say that there were other years at issue and that the government could repeat the same conduct year after year.
What you're missing here is there's no evidence that there's a controversy between you and the government as other weapons. Correct.
It's the only weapon at issue in this particular case, Your Honor.
No, but there's no evidence of a controversy between you and the government with respect to any other weapon, right?
I don't think it matters that there's another weapon. The issue is exempt to exempt.
But the answer is there's no evidence of a controversy with respect to any other weapon.
In this record, no. There's no other weapon at issue here, but the exemption to the exemption is what's at issue here. And every time any other weapon could be done. Just as in Scientology, there was no controversy on other tax years, but yet there, the court said that could happen year after year.
No, no, there was evidence in Scientology of specific controversy with respect to other tax years, right?
That could happen here as well, Your Honor.
But you haven't shown that it did.
That's correct, right?
Haven't shown that it did. It has happened.
That what has happened?
But there's a controversy as other weapons.
The only weapon at issue here is the one we sought to have transferred, and similar weapon that we had in the refund suit. That's correct, Your Honor. but it seems clear that if this happened, this is capable of repetition in evading review. I don't know that, I mean, the other cases as well, in the Scientology, that are cited in Scientology, basically say you cannot move out a case if this is capable of repetition in evading review, or if there was, as the government tried to do here, a simple concession without a concession on the merits that I don't think they're permitted to do under the facts of this case, given the stipulations that they made and given the rulings of the court about the concessions that they made in the case. The fact is that their concession here was without authority. They had no right to grant an exemption, particularly a retroactive exemption that is only available to the transferor of this firearm here, the taxpayer. And yet they're saying that they have the right to do that, and that they say moots out the case. We don't think that's true at all, Your Honor. We think it's pretty clear that they didn't have any right to grant this exemption, and ATF did not grant this exemption. It, and in fact, approved the transfer as a taxpayer transfer. Now, for the Department of Justice to realize years later that they think they can do that, I think it is unwarranted in the statutory scheme that they themselves are required to follow, and indeed it's administered by the government itself.
Mr. Neff, this may be a slight digression, but I'm not sure it is. Help me understand something about the merits of the case, which I realize I'm not immediately before us, which is on this trigger mechanism. Is it your position that every time the weapon is fired, the trigger must go forward before it is armed to fire again? Or is it, it's unclear when I read the ATF memos on this as to whether they were saying if you hold the trigger back, it'll continue to fire, which indeed is an automatic weapon, or whether that trigger has to be reenacted or removed each time. Do you have a position on that? Just
yes, it's the latter.
It's not immediately before us,
sure.
I know, but I'd like to have it in mind when I work on this thing.
Understood, Your Honor. It's the latter, and really that's all we're...
What's the latter?
The latter being, there's a single function of the trigger, which is a statutory term we're going to be dealing with, I hope, if we get to the merits. The function of the trigger is a statutory term here. What we're saying is there's a single function of the trigger for every round that is fired.
Your position is that technically that trigger has to go forward before it's ready to fire the next round.
Exactly. Forward enough so that... So
ATF disagreed, is that correct?
That's correct. They disagree.
And that's the merits issue that has yet to be heard.
That's yet to be heard, and we hope that it will be heard, and we hope that this court will hold that they cannot move this case out on that basis. But that's what's going to happen on the merits if we get there. Now, the government makes a lot
of... Is this a civilianized version of the M16?
It's similar to the M16 that we're all familiar with, or the civilian version of the AR-15. Yes, Your Honor, it's similar to that. But, you know, each weapon, of course, is unique on its own.
Where did it go? All right.
All right. But we hope we can get there.
This is an interesting question.
Some of them have a little switch on the side of the stock where you can move it from full automatic to single fire to firing three rounds at a time. Your gun doesn't have any.
That's correct, Your Honor. If we're all familiar with the selective switch that we all had in military training, if the court was there, that's not what's at issue here. The mechanism we're talking about is internal to the firing mechanism itself, and basically...
I don't want to take much more of your time on that, but...
No problem. I don't have a lot left before rebuttal time. But even aside from capable of repetition yet evading review, the fact is that the cases that moot out, on which the government heavily relies, and which Scientology distinguishes, is that in all of those cases, there was a ruling on the merits. That's why the case was moot. Or there was an alternative remedy. That's why the case was moot. And the court in that case, and indeed in the Thompson Center Arms case in the district court, had no trouble in saying, fine, we're not going to let you come here with a declaratory judgment. You've got a remedy. What is that remedy? That remedy is a tax refund suit. Well, that's what we did here. And indeed, this court is very familiar with that in the Thompson Center Arms litigation. You know that. So we're saying this is a remedy that the United States Supreme Court, this court, and other courts said use, and which we're trying to do. The government, on the other hand, is inconsistently saying, no, you can't use that either. But if this court holds that that one of the elements of the decision is that there is a declaratory judgment remedy available to this taxpayer. We'd like the court to clarify that, because all you have to do is then remand, vacate remand, and let us amend our pleadings, and we'll try the case on the basis of a declaratory judgment.
What if the federal claims have declaratory judgment first?
Well, we're not certain that they do, Your Honor, but the government is arguing here that they do. And
the Court of Federal Claims has such jurisdiction? I didn't read their briefs as saying that. I thought that they were saying that you could bring a district court to see what part of it.
I know they said that, and that would be an additional alternative remedy, Your Honor, but we think that it's possible this court could say that there's a declaratory remedy. And we'd like at least one court to bring that in, if indeed that's the ruling. I see them low on time. Let me reserve a few minutes for rebuttal. Thank you.
Good morning.
This is the Thompson Center, a Thompson Center Arms case. Dias Arms.
I'm sorry, did you ask me to discuss it?
You didn't discuss it in your group. I'm curious, because it does seem that they, in that case, that they did follow the same avenue that we could put concurrent in the Supreme Court to say about it.
Well, we did cite it. I certainly didn't discuss it at length. I think that whole, the course of events there was anomalous. The district court action was filed.
It was anomalous that the Supreme Court affirmed this.
Well, no, absolutely. But the procedures that led up to that, the Thompson Center Arms case in the district court was a declaratory judgment action, and the government moved to dismiss it based on the tax exception. So when it came to the Court of Federal Claims as a tax refund action, which is what the district court there had said, it moved forward in that context. But generally speaking, it's been our position, and there are certainly cases that show it, if one is going to challenge the classification of a firearm, it ought to be by a declaratory judgment action. And that would be in a district court. We do not suggest that is a case that should come
to court. So you think that in that case, that we're just talking about the district court's decision to go out, and they filed it, this court said they had to go to the Court of Federal Claims. You said that was wrong.
Your Honor,
it was never taken up.
No, it wasn't. But we don't think that's the correct approach. In that case, in Thompson Center Arms, at least there was a tax that could have been owed depending on the classification of that kit. The making tax was going to be owed. In this case, there is no tax that's going to be owed under Section 5811. If this is a machine gun, a lawful transfer will always be exempt from the 5811 tax. If it's not a machine gun, it's not a firearm under the National Firearms Act, and it's not subject to the 5811 tax.
Well,
so
let me go back for just a minute. I'm sorry, I may be confused. The case, the Thompson Center Arms Company case that was decided by this court in 1991 was on an appeal from the Court of Federal Claims.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
The Court of Federal Claims treated it as a tax case.
It was filed as a tax case, yes.
And the Court of Federal Claims decided it as a tax case.
Yes.
And we took it up as a tax case. And we decided it as a tax case. And the decision was basically a classification of a firearm. Right?
Yes.
I thought that Judge Mayer's question to you is, why doesn't that end this whole discussion? I mean, we have a clear precedent from the Court of Federal Claims and this court that these can be heard as tax cases, and you get a decision on the merits of a tax case, which involves the merits of the classification of the firearm. Isn't that controlling precedent for this case?
I don't think it controls this case for two reasons. Number one, in that case, there was the government litigated that case in the Court of Federal Claims and thereafter as a tax refund case on the merits.
There was a controversy as to the tax that was owing in that case.
That's
whereas
correct.
There isn't a controversy here.
That would be the first distinction. In this case, as it appears before this court, this case is moot because the tax refund has been issued. The government didn't contest its obligation
only,
to pay the tax refund.
It's moot only if the $200 the government threw back at Mr. Blakely was in fact refund for an exemption. We haven't come to that question.
That's true. We haven't, although possibly we should, because it's difficult to see a payment of tax that's being returned to the taxpayer as anything other than a tax refund.
Let me ask you this question. Let's assume for the moment that there's no exemption provision in the statute. Hypothetically, no exemption provision in the statute at all. The case sets up the way it did. He sends in $200. There's no exemption for special, what do they call it, a special?
Special occupational tax.
Special occupational. That exemption isn't in the statute. So he sends in the $200. The government looks at it and says, we don't want to deal with this. Write him a check for $200 and just put on it, never mind. Would that be enough? Would that be okay?
I would consider
that moot the case.
I would consider that to be a concession of the government's case. The refund is what the suit is about. Once the refund has been issued, the case is moot.
Well, he didn't ask. Is it a refund if they just send you money?
If it's a payment of tax that's being returned to you.
If.
Well, it was offered as a payment of tax.
All right, let me ask you this. Was a Form 3 pursuant to the regulation 479.88B, has that ever been filed as required by the regulations? The regulation
Your Honor,
is clear.
Sorry. Is a Form 3 a refund claim? I know a Form
yeah.
2 and Form 4.
No, Form 3, the regulation is clear. I'll read you the record if you want. But the regulation is clear that the only way to get your money back on a refund is if you file a form, shall file a Form 3 or something. I'll find that for you. Right?
It's not necessary. I will say that the taxpayer has not filed any kind of a request for a refund.
Did the government file a Form 3 on itself?
No.
Does the government have the authority to waive the filing?
In this case, it did waive the filing, so. I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that. I haven't considered it, but it seems clear to me that the government has the authority not to accept a tax that's not
paid. Isn't that critical to your case? You've got to be able to show that the $200, which was thrown up in the air, was in fact a refund.
What we have shown is that the tax was not due, and therefore, in our view, it was an overpayment of tax, and we refunded it. That's what the government does when there's an overpayment of tax. It issues a tax refund. In this case, the tax was not due. Your hypothetical was addressing a situation where there was no exemption. In this case, there is one. So the tax
yes,
was not
I moved
due
on.
And has been returned.
I moved on and granted you the exemption and then wondered if the, what the regulations say is the exemption provided in paragraph A of this section shall be obtained by the transferor of the firearm filing with the director an application form 3, firearms, application for tax exempt transfer firearm registration, the special occupational taxpayer, duplicate executed under penalty of perjury, etc., etc. That seems to suggest that it's the transferor of the firearm who has to file the form 3 in order to get this.
I agree that the language may suggest that. I would suggest also that typically a regulation like that would be written in order to describe what the transferor has to do. It's directed at the requirements imposed on the transferor. It doesn't impose an obligation on the government itself. I understand that that's the notion that you are raising here, that the government has no authority without that form to issue a refund. But the government does issue refunds without requests from taxpayers. It happens whenever the government recognizes there's an overpayment. If the taxpayer doesn't ask for it, it doesn't mean the government keeps it.
You've got such a voluntary opinion, but I'm sure it happens all the time.
Certainly mathematical errors will result in an overpayment and a refund automatically. It's not unheard of.
This was not a mathematical error?
No, it's not. It's not. I certainly concede that. But I don't think that the government is bound to accept an unowed tax, which is what the situation is here, and that's apart from the requirement for filing. I understand your question.
Well,
I don't
they didn't
have an answer to it.
The question is not whether they accepted it, the question is whether they refunded it. That's a different case. Is it the government's position he took the $200 refund?
I understand from his reply brief that he hasn't cashed the check. So I wouldn't say he has accepted a refund.
That puts him closer to the Scientology case, I guess.
I'm not sure how, Your Honor.
It distinguishes it from the earlier Ninth Circuit case in which they accepted the check, took the money. In Scientology, they refused to take the money, I thought.
I don't remember that fact about the Scientology case. I do know
that. I think Scientology was based on the fact that there was continuing controversy as to the taxes.
Yes, Your Honor. It was that the IRS at that time was, some would say, in active pursuit of the Church of Scientology, and the question of its tax-exempt status was quite a raging controversy, so it was taking many actions with respect to the Church of Scientology that made it an ongoing controversy. That's not really the case here. If this taxpayer filed a declaratory judgment action in the district court, I can't say what would happen, but it's our view that the government would not raise the tax exemption in that situation. The fact that it happened in the district court in New Hampshire in the Thompson Center Arms case 20 years ago doesn't mean it would happen today. We've cited a number of cases in our brief that were declaratory judgment actions that challenged ATF classification decisions, and they went forward. The government didn't try to raise any kind of an objection that it might or might not have a tax implication.
Are you telling us that the government's position before this court is that if he gets into the district court on an APA action, you will not try to get him dismissed on jurisdictional grounds? Well, are you saying that for the record?
Well, I think Your Honor understands I can't bind the government in future litigation,
yes,
but we are saying
you can bind the government by making a statement for the record before this court as to what the government's conduct will be in this case if they find themselves on the same issue but in a different court, which is what the government seems to want them to do.
We have said in our brief that would be the proper approach.
The proper approach is to challenge the classification. In other words, they can challenge the classification even though there's no tax controversy with respect to a specific payment or refund or anything like that.
Well, that's correct. Although the classification might have a tax implication, that's what an assistant U.S. attorney argued in the Thompson Center Arms case. We say it's collateral, and particularly so in this case.
The Tax Injunction Act doesn't apply in those circumstances where it's a challenge to the classification.
Where they're just challenging the classification, yes, Your Honor.
Yeah, rather than whether it's a tax.
That's correct, Your Honor. And as I said, we've cited cases where these classification challenges have gone forward, and there's been no government objection on the basis of the tax exception to the Declaratory Judgment Act, which, again, is what we would recommend as the proper course here. But back to the original proposition.
So I understand that if we confirm that this case will move here, then this very case can be filed in the district court.
Yes.
Well, not
the statute of limitations. Wait,
not this very case, because this case is about taxes. What you're saying
is
the underlying issue.
Well,
the classification of this weapon. I'm sorry.
Could properly be raised as an APA action in the district court is what the government's position is.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. That's right. This weapons classification could be challenged by a different action.
The government has taken different positions on that issue over time. You're telling us the government now has a consistent position of allowing these issues to be litigated without going through this jurisdictional dance.
I believe the government has been relatively consistent, Thompson Center Arms being the only exception of which I'm aware. But I am telling you that in our brief and today, we believe that the appropriate challenge to a firearms classification is via an action in the district court.
Why do you object to our doing it in the way we did it previously in the Thompson Center Arms case? Why is it that an equally apt way, since the government had already agreed to doing it that way as well? There are a lot of issues that can be raised several different ways in several different jurisdictions. Why is it this one that could go either way?
Well, obviously it could go either way because in Thompson Center Arms it went the other way. But in this particular case, the government has elected to say, because there is no real tax ever going to be owed by this taxpayer under 5811. It does not choose to litigate it as a tax refund.
So you're saying this is not the plaintiff's, it's not the plaintiff's choice of forum, it's the government's choice of forum? Is that your position?
Well, the plaintiff chose the forum, but his action has become moot.
No, no, no. His action has only become moot because the government is arguing that it's, that there's been some sort of a refund which moots it. The question is whether that's true or not. Putting that issue aside for the moment, is there any reason why the government should have the option of the forum as between an APA action, a district court, and a tax action on exactly the same underlying issue of classification? Is there some reason why the government should have the option of forum rather than the plaintiff who chooses? Isn't it kind of like the plaintiff's option is to go to district court in some cases, or the court of federal claims in others, tax issues, go to tax court, go to the court of federal claims? Why is this suddenly a government option and not a plaintiff's option?
As you've been speaking, I've been trying to think of an example. I don't think it's uncommon for defendants to be able to have some control over the forum in which a case is heard. It's not unique to the government. And so the answer is, I believe that the defendant has the right to concede a case. If the implication of that is that the case needs to be brought elsewhere, I still think that would be within the rights of the defendant. If you speak of it as the government controlling the litigation, perhaps it sounds more ominous, but I don't think it's unique.
Thank you.
Again, I didn't get to much of what I had to say about the fact that the mootness question seems clear.
Well, but time is up.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, a couple of rebuttal points. If the government says here this morning that there has been a concession, that a tax refund has been issued, that's why the case is moot, that the taxes were not due, we think that ought to be clarified and that this Court would have ample evidence from the record as we have it that the government has indeed effectively said that the taxpayers won on the merits. Pages 22, 21, 22, 23.
But the merits were never really litigated. Counsel. I mean, I understand your point. You want to force them into a total concession. But the truth of the matter is, as discussed in our little dialogue earlier, those merits, the question of how that trigger operates, has never been litigated.
You're absolutely correct.
The record certainly doesn't make it clear to me.
You're absolutely correct. It has not been litigated in the sense that you're talking about, Your Honor. Nevertheless, I don't think the government should be able to have inconsistent positions here and basically say, yes, we have granted a refund, but not, we're really not ruling on the merits. We don't think he's really entitled to it, but here's the money anyway.
They're saying you're entitled to it because it's an exempt transaction.
Excuse me, Your Honor?
They're saying you're entitled to it because it's an exempt transaction.
Which they had no right to grant. But in any event, their concessions in the record that you have before you go far beyond
that. How are you standing to complain that they made you their tax refund? What case suggests that you have standing to challenge whether the government complied with its internal procedures for making a tax refund?
The statute itself says they have to comply with their own refund. That's our standing. We're allowed to invoke those things too. Indeed, it's the transferor's prerogative, not the government's, to do that. All I'm asking for is some clarification here. I agree with Your Honor that they have not, on merit, said that this is a machine gun and this is not. But they've got admissions here that would permit this court to so rule. And perhaps the court will, perhaps it will not. But at least hold them to their own admissions in this particular case. Second, a couple of
questions. Based on what the counsel said here today about where you can go in this transaction to the district court, isn't that sufficient?
There'd be no need for that, Your Honor, if indeed they have conceded the case here, as they've said today. If they conceded on the merits, let's hold them to it. They've said so. But if they've not conceded on the merits, then we suggest this particular case is not, and we shouldn't have to go anywhere else because they have no authority. The lower court had no authority to enter the order because it was based on the fact that the government was saying, you get your money back because you are exempt. That's
you
the only
thing. You can get everything you want, can't you, prior to a judgment suit in this court?
Excuse me?
You can get everything you want in a district court declaratory judgment.
Theoretically, if it went to declaratory judgment, if the merits were available to us, yes, we could do that, but that's not where the president said we should go. The president, in fact, for 20 years, the government said, don't use declaratory judgments. You can't get around the tax statutes because 2201 of Title 28 says you can't. And they pushed people like Thompson Center Arms and hundreds of others into the tax refund provisions, just as the Supreme Court recently ruled in the Elkhorn case in April that you're supposed to do. It's the tried and true.
Would you have a statute of limitations problem in this case if you ended up going to the district court, or are you clear?
Good question, Your Honor. I haven't thought that one through, but every firearm is a new opportunity in the sense that each case would be held on its own. Form 3, I might clarify, is an exemption form rather than a refund form. Here, I want to make it clear, the tax was due, and it was paid, and the firearm was transferred. The only possibility here is for an exemption to be granted, but otherwise it was due. It's not up to the government to invoke that exemption. The plaintiffs have had a lot of trouble with declaratory judgment for the reasons I've indicated, Your Honor. So we would urge this court to reverse the court below, enter judgment for the plaintiff, but alternatively to vacate and permit this action to go forward as a tax refund case below. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.